This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
If I were you, here's what I would do. Dump all my problems onto these dudes. Let them figure it out. They'll change your name for privacy's sake. Your friends will know who you are anyway. Your story's so specific, dude. Yeah, it gets kinda wordly. Amir will earn the turdy. He always seems to put his foot in his mouth. And Jay will take the golden mic. He always seems to get it right and speak words both powerful and true and so beautiful. If I were
Damn.
Yeah, damn. It's 2 p.m. on a Wednesday. You're at,
like, I feel like I'm, yeah, I'm rolling on fucking Molly, yeah. And I'm high.
I don't know why.
I'm peaking. Yeah.
I don't think so. It's, yeah, Wednesday, wow, afternoon. It's the most.
It was a sensual song that made me kind of feel myself, as it were, in a way, on the day. And I congratulate this guy who wrote the song. Bravo. Bravo. Well done. And toda.
Would you say now is the most sober time of the week, like Wednesday at 2? Or would you be like Monday morning is kind of the most sober time of the week?
I would say, I think for me personally, it's probably Thursday morning feels like the most sober. It's like the peak of the ramp going into the weekend, I feel like.
Yeah.
But we're definitely sobering up for sure.
Yeah.
Like no one's... I feel like sometimes Monday doesn't feel that sober because if you like toss a few back on Sunday fun day, you know, your Monday might be set up a little bit different.
Yeah.
Like you might have a hangover, so it's not necessarily sober. It's hungover.
Yeah.
Tuesday, you're kind of recovering. You're grinding.
Yeah.
Wednesday. Yeah. Wednesday, you're really.
You'll have a salad
for
lunch.
You're falling into lockstep. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Not even a Thursday grain morning, bowl. Just like a pure salad lunch.
Actually, I had a grain bowl. I had a green bowl today.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Remember when we heard about the cool times to go to Bergein, and it was always like the weirdest, like Tuesday at 10 a.m. is the hardest time to get in. Like you could probably go, yeah, Friday night. That's fine. Nobody really goes. But like if you go Thursday, right, at noon, good luck. Like, what kind of insane, weird topsy-turvy club is this shit?
There's no... It's kind of interesting, though. I like the philosophy because like right now I do feel awake, energized, and alert. So like if I were on vacation and partying and I could just go out on a Wednesday afternoon...
Yeah.
You kind of have to like leave societal norms behind if you're going to go into Bergein.
Yeah, exactly. Everything is upside down in Bergein. Also, pre-COVID, wasn't there like 6 a.m. raves in New York? Does that sound familiar to you? It's like maybe even a silent disco. Like people would go before work or something like that. There was like this new thing.
Yeah, that certainly rings true. That certainly rings true. I mean, there's always silent raves somewhere.
But like this one was specifically pre-work, like an early morning dance party.
Yeah, thing. That sounds quite familiar.
I wonder if we should bring that back. Now enough people have forgotten who it's actually attributed to. It could sort of be like the founders of it.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be that. I don't think it's like a huge opportunity.
Brush your teeth and then have a... I don't know if there was alcohol there, actually.
Probably.
Because it was there was like green juices. Athletic green, actually. Yeah.
That sounds like it's just fucking breakfast then. So not really.
I want to play music at a Denny's is all.
I would actually go to that.
That's cool. Sounds good. Yeah, like a diner slash party. A diner dance party. A DDP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we can play the song that was at the top of the show, which was written and sent to us by Tony Saragossa.
Oh, we know Tony, don't we? He's done one before.
Has he? If you can shout out my band, The Medium Blue, we're on Spotify and Apple Music. Also, tell everyone to follow us on Instagram. We're trying to get that elusive 1K follow. The Medium Blue.
Nice. Very cool. Medium Blue. Get on it.
Yeah, bless. I'm sorry, they have less than 1,000.
Yeah, it's not a lot of people.
If I had less than even 10,000, you have permission to kill me. Great. I am a nobody.
So everyone listening, go ahead and unfollow quick.
No.
And then I would have permission to kill him, and I'll do that on my Instagram live. That's right.
Maybe I'm regretting this whole thing then, because I'm already somehow fucking hemorrhaging followers right now. There's no way anybody. I guess no I put it related. Like the anti.
Yeah, you posted something. If you don't have 10,000 followers, unfollow
me. I'm dead to rights because I think I fucking put it out there in the ether, like The Secret, but backwards, where I'm sort of putting nasty energy into the world, and it's coming back at me. And now I have 912 followers. How do I have 912?
I'm going to book a flight. I will be booking a flight to LA. I will be strangling you on Instagram Live.
There's no way, because a lot of my followers are just confused Iranians who think they're following somebody else named Amir. They're bots.
They must have found out. They must have found out you're not the prince that you claim to be. That's a great pun, because Amir means prince, does it not?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what happened. Yeah. You have permission to kill me.
Cool. I think rather than take you up on full permission.
Yeah, rather than do that.
I'm saying we should. I think I'll still end up killing you, but we should fight to the death. I just watched
like the movie, a snuff film of sorts.
Kind of, yeah. I watched the movie The Last Duel. You know, so for like a long time, it was like a form of entertainment. People would just kind of watch two knights fight to the death.
Matt Damon's in that, right?
Yeah, Matt Damon is it. Matt Damon. What's Adam? Matt Damon, Adam Driver, Jodie Comer.
I heard that movie is like a microcosm of why Hollywood never does original movies anymore. Where it's like it used to be a bunch of movies like The Last Duel, and then Spider-Man came out in like 2003, and they're like, never mind, we're only going to do that, because like movies like The Last Duel don't. Nobody knows what they are. We can't market it. Even if Matt Damon's in it, nobody will see it. We have to just make Batman again. We're going to make Batman again, and now we're going to make Batman again.
Sounds about right. I mean, how many fucking Batman origin stories are there?
Whenever I see a commercial, I always get like kind of upset. I'm like, they can't keep doing this. And then they do, and then it makes $1 billion, and then it makes sense.
Yeah, no one cares. Yeah, because now as we get older, it's like when we were growing up, we liked the Batman movies, but now we're taking our kids to the Batman movies. It's like this fucking insane cycle.
So what is it? Just the same story? They're like, we're not even doing reboots. We're like, we're reshooting the movie from scratch with Robert Pattinson, and people will still watch it more than The Last Duel.
And it's like, you know exactly what happens to Bruce Wayne. His parents get murdered outside of the opera. How many times will they do that? They're just like, oh my God. Like, they're not allowed to build up drama around it, I don't think.
They don't deserve to have it that way.
I feel like every Batman film should just be like, quick cut, like this, here, like, and now it's Batman, and now he has to find a villain or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's crazy to me.
But they still do a lot better than a movie like The Last Duel. Was The Last Duel even good?
Yeah. I was kind of enthralled by it. I like that it was like based on a real historical event in like an era that we haven't really seen a lot of films set in. I like the actors. And it was fun to watch. So yeah, I guess I did like it. I guess I liked it. I don't think I liked it in a way that I would like normally have been. I don't know why I started talking about it now. But yeah. Oh yeah, because I was talking about Killing You.
Yeah.
So normally it wouldn't have come up. I wouldn't have ever told anyone that I watched The Last Duel.
Yeah.
I was on a plane. I checked it out.
It's a plane movie.
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine to good. Yeah. I was curious the entire
time. Was it better than a random Avengers movie you may or may not have seen already?
Yes, I do think it was better. But it's funny because like the Avengers movies, I feel like, I guess in their own way, they're not made to be watched on a plane, but like they're so simple. And I guess you miss a little bit of the special effects. But this movie was like all about like the performances and those like nuances and like these subtle differences between like the moments and all the stories. And I was watching on a computer like while I was eating my sandwich while they're making like flight announcements. So I definitely don't think I saw it as it was intended.
I watched Tenet on my watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
With one earbud in and the other one listening to a podcast. And I was on a treadmill and my Fitbit was actually tracking all of it.
And you were sitting on the edge of the treadmill as it was just going. So you would kind of log the miles.
All right. This is it. This is If I Were You, the only advice pod on the web, hosted by us. I am still Amir.
Not for long. I'm Jake, and I will be killing him.
For the first time in a while.
Live Instagram.
My hair is, you guys can see this. We're still uploading these as YouTube videos, so you can watch along if you want on our YouTube channel. You can see for the first time in a while, my hair is longer than yours.
That's correct. This is actually the cut that I've been asking you to get for a long time.
Yeah, and I'm actually getting it cut.
The kind of old George Clooney.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. It's actually, it's sort of turning into this Jewish Hugh Grant thing where it's like sort of a middle part going all the way down to my eyebrows and then spreading out.
I like it. I think you should try that with a closer cropped beard if I can.
But I need to have a British accent, I think, to pull it off. I don't know. If I could do a Hugh Grant. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Because he's often like sort of struggling to find, like, you know?
Yeah, he can't quite find the words exactly. To say. It's like, but you, when you do it, it makes me anxious. When he does it, it's kind of like charming. It's endearing. No, yeah, it's grating when you do it.
It is great.
You
are
more like a Woody Allen.
Oh, yeah, that's good. No, yeah, no. Sort of like a.
Not good.
Yeah, because he's sort of ostracized for deeds. Dirty deeds done dirt cheap. Now he,
Oh my God.
It's been
a
long December, and there's reason to believe he did some things that aren't good at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Way to accuse him in a Counting Crows song.
Actually, Adam Derwitz recently performed that live on the Seth Meyers show. I feel like you would enjoy that.
Oh, I will. God, I would fucking love that.
On the piano by himself.
Really? Goddamn.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We listened to that song recently on backstage when we were in Minneapolis for the NADPOD tour. Just blasting some.
Was it December?
No, it was January, early January, but it had been a long December.
Yeah, that's right. January is sort of the beginning of a long December.
You're
back in the office. This might be the last pod you record in the HeadGum East, that specific one.
Yeah, God willing. Do you know what happened to in this office?
I heard it was falling apart at the finish line of sorts.
Yeah, we've been in this office 2 years.
Two pandemic years.
Maybe even.
I think it was a little more.
2.5 years. 3 years.
Yeah. I think 3 years.
In like 2019. One summer of 2019.
So like 6 months of non-pandemic good life and then two years of pandemic.
Right. And office has always been nice. We like built it out. We built the studio. I built a kitchen. Marika tiled the kitchen. Like great space. It's a really nice space. We have a patio. Everybody that comes here loves it. Over the last like few months, there's been like the floorboards near the desk have started to like warp in a way that we would believe that like there's a leak going on above them, but there's nothing going on above them. I think the leak is like coming from the roof or the floor, like the patio or something. Uh-huh. So they're starting to buckle to the point where it's not even like you have to like step over it. It's like a 12-inch
hill
buckle, like completely concave.
Yeah.
I texted the landlord about it several times. He responded once or twice saying he was going to come by and fix it. Never did.
Yeah.
We got our new office. We're moving at the end of the month. We gave our notice. Yesterday, I walked in to pick up a microphone, and there were two men here. All of our desks had been moved to the side.
We're not moved out yet.
We're not moved out. We have a month and a half left on our lease. They had moved all of our desks. They'd taken down all of the like art on our wall. It's kind of like just strewn everything about to clear the back wall.
Right.
Where they had cut out a 4-foot by 4-foot hole, exposing like the wall and the pipes, kind of near where they maybe suspected the leak was.
Uh-huh.
We had installed closets that they ripped off the wall, moved to the side, cut a enormous hole in the bathroom.
A hole into it?
And a hole into the bathroom. There's like a bathroom where you walk around. It's kind of like, yeah, you walk around a corner to open the door to the bathroom. But then instead, they just kind of cut a hole in the hallway. So there was two openings to the bathroom. And in the bathroom, they had cut down all of the walls, the ceiling, moved the sink, put the toilet in the kitchen, and it seemed like they were just doing
major gut renovation.
Of the bathroom and of the wall desk, and no one had told us anything.
So why do you think they did it? Let alone before we moved out.
I don't know, because like now looking at it today, they hadn't said it. They have gave us no warning, no indication it was happening. I like called and texted the landlord, no response. I call and text our realtor who we'd been dealing with. She's like, they said they were, what did she say? She's like, I thought they said they would be done today. And I was like, no one told us they were doing anything at all.
No one said they'd start yesterday.
Yeah. And then she was like, they'll be finished at the end of the day and I'll clean it up tomorrow. And I was like, okay, I really doubt it. The toilet's in the kitchen.
You get that. That's more than just a frame on the floor.
Yeah. Like, there's no way that they could have been done. But I came in this morning, and sure enough, they're definitely not done.
No.
The walls are still completely open. The toilet is back in the bathroom.
Oh.
They did kind of patch one hole and put the door on the new one that they cut. So everything technically works.
So you can't sue.
All of the wiring is exposed. we probably could. All the wiring is all exposed everywhere.
Maybe we can get some money back.
They took off all of the outlets. That's the, like, it's such weird timing because they, all that could, we have 1 month left to pay and they have our security deposit. So it's not really, it's basically a moot point.
Because then they'll be like, no, we'll just take your security deposit if you don't pay.
Right. So we refuse to pay. They refuse to give the security deposit back. But it's also, I don't know, you can kind of see.
Oh, there's a T-Rex. What's going on there? Construction?
Yeah, there was... When we first moved in here, there was like a warehouse across the street that they started demolishing a few weeks ago. I found out that they sold it to a condo developer. It's like four lots, like the full corner of Barry Street. And they're going to be doing construction forever, I would think.
So it's good that we're getting out of this loud sort of falling apart office.
It can't happen soon enough. And the new building that I've been dealing with, they just have like a team of everyone for everything. It's just like, it's so nice rather than me texting like a number that I never ever get a response from.
So the good news is we're moving to a better space in New York and in LA. The studio is almost built. So we're going to have some high-res, nice production style video podcasting going on soon.
That's right. So actually, if you don't subscribe to this podcast on video, you should, but also, I guess follow like HeadGum's YouTube channel.
Yeah. And
subscribe to that.
And TikTok.
We're going to be posting Okay. Yeah. So follow us on shit.
Yeah.
There's going to be new stuff coming out of the offices, which will be fun.
It's kind of cool that it's like happening on like the anniversary of the original lockdown. It would have been cool if it was like 1 year. The second year was probably unnecessary, but the fact that it's happening in March, the middle of March again.
Yeah. Very interesting.
It's poetic almost. Actually, write this part down. Ready?
No.
2 years gone in 24 months.
Okay. It's being recorded for posterity, so I'm not going to write anything down. So I feel like
2 years gone and not, I guess 2 years and 24 months. How about 1 year gone and 12 months? That way people are like, oh, that's interesting. It's 2 years. But he said it in a kind of flowery way. You know how poetry is always like kind of confusing for no reason.
No, it's not for no reason. It's supposed to be personal.
We returned to the sea like a turtle.
Return to the sea? What are you talking about?
Like our office is
what
like
does it
the
mean
ocean.
To you?
It doesn't fucking matter. Why? It all just has yes, to be confusing.
The thing about poetry is that it matters a lot. Your word choice matters a lot. It's all supposed to signal something.
It signals as long as you put it
deeper meaning. Yeah. Yours? No, it's not as long as you put, what were you going to say?
As long as you put it in a funny place. Like, you know how like some poetry, they'll be like, this isn't very good, so I'll like fucking move it from the left to like do 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 do. How like sometimes it looks.
Don't
like.
Tell me to write stuff down if it's not fully formed yet either. Just that's a small one, but I feel like you told me to like you started dictating something that was clearly not ready to be
wrong.
Are you gonna say wrong? Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
All right. China.
Run. That's this Robert De Niro doing a jump or something. This is the kind of shit that's you're missing bad. If you're not watching on YouTube. Mm-hmm.
It's a good Robert De Niro. It's a good Bob De Niro face.
Really?
Yeah, that's really good. You get the frown. I can't make that level of frown.
What about Hugh Grant doing Robert De Niro? I mean, I can't really understand. It's sort of like Beaker from the Muppet Babies a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little convoluted.
A little?
You don't need to like, you don't need to stack the impressions. Neither of them are that good on their own. The Bob De Niro one is fine.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant was really bad.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, we got to take a break. Thanks to sponsors. Come back and answer some more questions. We got a ton of lightning round questions last week that we didn't get to, so I wanted to answer some more.
That's right.
All right.
Cool.
BRB.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there, and you know what? You can update it with an app, so every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we are back. Jake, do you have any?
Aunt Celeste, the fight!
I do. I actually have two. I've got two product recommendations.
If you two? You want to use them right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, one of them is for my own product, frankly. It's for the Leather Halcyon wallet. It's
I have that.
We restocked it. We've never shown it on video, which is kind of savage. But yeah, there you go. You have a thick guy. I got the thin boy. Wow, there's my license. Oh,
Jesus,
my God.
That was really dangerous.
it's scary to just like flash your license. It feels like there should be like information that no one should have, but it is perfectly fine.
Yeah, ultimately.
Ultimately fine. Okay, so anyway, we were sold out for a long time, but they're back in stock and you can get one if you want. The other thing, is not a product I make, but I'm traveling, right? And when I first started like traveling again, I was bringing my Waterpik. I don't know if I mentioned that I'm back on the Waterpik. There was a while where I was off it, but I love the Waterpik now.
Okay, that's good.
At the end of every single night.
That's good.
It's
a necessary rinse.
Bedtime routine.
Yeah.
My thing that I never liked about it is that it's kind of bulky. It's not that pretty. I did not like, do you leave yours on your counter?
I do, but care less about a neat counter. My counter's got all sorts of shit on it.
I care very much about a neat counter. My counter has soap, a little vase, with a little plant, and nothing else. I don't even keep a toothbrush on the counter.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
How does it dry off? Where do you put it?
I usually will brush my teeth in the morning. I will leave it out, go to the gym, come home, shower, put away the toothbrush.
Wow, so it dries out and then you return it.
Yeah. And the Waterpik, since I only use it at night, I usually leave that out overnight and I put it away in the morning in the same drawer with the toothbrush.
In the safe, the toothbrush. Underneath your bed.
With a key, then I swallow it, pass it at the gym, go home, rinse it off. But yeah, so I think it's bulky. And like when I put it in my dop kit to travel, it really takes up just about the whole entire thing. It's
it almost doesn't fit all the way unless you remove the needle.
Yeah, you have to remove. I put the needle in my toothbrush carrying case. And then it's like, where is everything else going to go? Mm-hmm. So I looked up something I'd never done was just like a travel portable water flosser. And I found one called the Enpuli Water Flosser. It's Enpuly. I'm not recommending this brand specifically, but just basically know that there are travel water picks. It's so small. It's like the size of it's almost like the size of like an extra iPhone battery or something. And it like extends out.
So it can't hold water, right? It actually attaches to a water source you have to have.
No, it can hold water.
Here, interesting. I thought it was just a needle and a motor, and then you can like put it on a cup.
Oh, that would be interesting. That actually would make it even smaller. But this one's pretty small as it is, because it basically.
Oh yeah, I see. It's retractable.
Yeah, it's retractable. That's it. So I like it basically better than my other Waterpik,
and interesting.
It takes up less space and. The reviews, some of the reviews just say it doesn't hold enough water, but I find that my other Waterpik holds more than enough water. I'm usually emptying it out at the end of the day. And if I have to fill it up twice, that's not the end of the world at all. I would sacrifice that for saving the space. It's also better looking. It's sleeker. It's cooler.
What is the, why do you need a USB cord for a water pick?
To charge it.
Interesting. So it
you
charges.
Don't charge yours?
Mine is charged with like a wall outlet.
Oh, yeah. This one is like a USB C, I think.
Wow. So you can charge it from your computer.
Yeah. You could also just plug the USB thing into a little brick, which is probably easier because nobody wants to bring their water flosser out onto their computer. But
yeah. So yeah. We've gone full circle. I think our first recommendation was water pick, and now we're going all the way to 3 years later, travel we've landed pick. On travel water pick, a well, smaller think, water pick.
Yeah, and I think that the travel, if you haven't bought one yet because you were worried they were too bulky, I think the travel one will suffice for your at-home water pick as well.
Okay, that's good. I don't know if, I think people who haven't bought it has nothing to do with the bulkiness. They just don't want to fucking add shit to their nighttime routine.
That's why I stopped using it, because in my old bathroom was smaller and I didn't have the space to have the water pick.
Right. And now you have the space, you have the water, and you have the pig.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Let's get to some questions from the peanut gallery. Speaking of peanuts, Mongoose nice. Bitch asks,
oh my God,
what's the best type of M&M for trail mix? So like, do you put the peanut M&M in trail mix if there's already peanuts in there? Or do you want the regular M&Ms for the trail mix? Or do you go no chocolate at all? You go chocolate chips or something like that.
I actually just had some really, really delicious trail mix. And it was like Mr. Planter's peanut butter chocolate trail mix. It was basically like I was just eating peanut butter M&Ms mixed with peanut M&Ms mixed with regular M&Ms and then like three cashews.
Yeah.
So I guess the best trail mix is heavy on the chocolate, light on the raisins. I don't do any fruit in the trail mix.
It's a different consistency. It's a sticky consistency.
Yeah, you don't want that. I don't fuck with that at
even the M&Ms, the candy shell is almost like it takes you out of the flow. Like I think I said no chocolate but chocolate chips. I meant no candy shell, but do you go straight to chocolate chip? And I think that's my favorite, because then you can get the nuts with the chocolate. Let's say a not half and half, but a 3-to-1 ratio.
Do you remember my old
apartment? I wasn't done. Sorry.
Yes, you were done. You were absolutely done. You had talked
I wonder if white chocolate would be good. Shell.
You mean you were gonna trail off?
Trail mix off, actually.
Nice. Do you remember my apartment where I had I didn't have any food except for like a giant jug of cashews and chocolate chips?
Oh yeah, that was sort of like you were trying to redefine snacking. You're like, I don't need any snacks whatsoever, just a giant jug of nuts and chocolate.
Yeah, I was like, the trail mix, they overdo it. There's too much, and I just had raw cashews and semi-sweet morsels, and it's like that really is all you actually need. Everything else is just filler.
Did you get sick of it, or did you start to desire salty at a certain point?
I don't remember why I ever stopped. I feel like I stopped because I moved. I think that is why. Because that was more of like a live by yourself thing. You start to get really meticulous and you make things nice and you indulge all of your oh, it'd be nice to have this. It'd be cool to have this. And then I moved in with Dave Rosenberg and my kitchen became a sad place for me.
A hot mess.
Yeah. Just like dirty ruffles. Dishes, nothing worked. Yeah, the floor was crunchy and slimy at all times.
But you got to experience that. Yeah. I think the adult version of what you had is like you can get one of those crank things for your wall. Like, let me put boom, boom, boom. It comes out already a pre-made trail mix thing.
I think that the best trail mix has chocolate, but the best trail mix for you and the one that I feel like I would consistently snack on now is just one it's basically mixed nuts.
Yeah.
But if you're actually hiking, I think you do need the fruit and you do need the chocolate. At the very least, you need the chocolate. I would prefer it with no fruit.
Yeah. I mean,
that little sugar hit.
Dry fruit is so probably good for you, but like the some trail mix has like those big ass fucking orange, like I think it's like a dehydrated what, like a peach?
That's nasty.
Like a full fucking peaches in there.
I don't think so.
Dr. Wanger Banger, great names, writes.
Cool.
Hey Jake, I have 2-year-old twins and they're killing me. Can you call your mom? Yeah.
Sorry.
Can you call your mom on air and get some tips from her? I know she had triplets along with the rest of you. Congrats on the golden mic.
Yeah, do you want to call my mom?
Yeah, how would that work?
Hard. It feels like it'd be hard.
You'd have to like put her on speaker up to your microphone.
Okay. I can try. She might be teaching right now. Let's find out.
Yeah. I mean, the more we get closer to adults' age that have kids, the more insane it is that your mom had 2 kids and then triplets, probably, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Can you hear my phone right now in case she does answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey.
Hey, mama.
What a treat. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's so nice and warm out.
Yes. Yes, it is. So, mom, I'm recording my podcast right now, so you're on air.
Man.
Amir is here too.
Hey, Amir.
Hey, how are you? Can you hear me?
Oh, wait. I don't know if she can.
Yeah. You'll have to translate.
You can't hear him, can you?
I could not hear Amir right at that moment.
Okay. Yeah, that's my fault because I have him on my AirPods. We don't know how to do call-ins yet. But he said, hi, how are you? And we have a question for you from a listener. So let me repeat it back to you. Amir, tell me what it is again. He said you have twins.
I have 2-year-old twins and they're killing me. Can you call your mom on air and get some tips from her?
Okay. So a guy emailed in. He said, I have 2-year-old twins and they're killing me. Can you get some tips? Can you call your mom and get some tips from her? Do you have any tips for someone that has twins that are killing him?
Man, that is very challenging, but one thing that is really, really helpful I found was like just sticking them in front of some kind of television show that's not terrible, like something that's like quasi-educational, because a lot of times they kind of, I just remember when the triplets were little, they would almost like, I don't know, kind of amp each other up. Like one of their favorite games was like upsetting Rachel.
We still love that game.
It's still a good game. It's solid game. But I think sometimes just diversionary tactic is good. Another thing that is very helpful, and this might actually be something that's a lot of work, sticking them in the bath. Because that becomes an activity that's just kind of fun, and they seem to enjoy it. Especially,
yeah, you kind of toss them in there and then forget about them and check on them later.
That's exactly it. And you hope their heads are still above water, but it all works.
You crazy mom.
What's the hardest age to have those triplets? Ask her.
This was my go-to, and you know this. I had the triplet stroller.
Oh yeah, I remember the triplet stroller.
In a stroller and going for a walk.
Yeah,
it's just. There's something about it that's just kind of mesmerizing, and they just tend to really enjoy it. So,
all right, solid advice. And we have one other question from Amir, who wants to know
what was the hardest age.
Yeah, what was the hardest age to have the triplets be?
Oh man, okay, probably it was around that 2-year mark. That was just. Hard.
So he's going through the worst of it right now.
He is. And then, you hit another patch when they're like 13.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and cool. So he has that to look forward to.
Yeah. It's a decade between those ages.
10 good years. All right. Well, thank you very much for your help, mother. I love you very much.
I love you so much. And yeah, anytime you want to call and put me on your show, I'm here for you.
Cool. And I'll call you later just to chat. Okay.
Okay. I love it.
Love you.
I love you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Love you. Bye-bye. All right. There you have it.
Two Muppets ask, what's the biggest thing you've ever seen? And I'm going to say my cock.
Don't do that so close to my mother's voice, please. But I will agree. I'll say Amir's cock.
That's funny. Call your mom. Let's ask what the biggest thing she's ever seen was.
I feel like it's. I don't want to annoy her.
Yeah.
Okay. She obviously didn't sound happy to hear from me.
Yeah. She said the hardest age you've ever been was 36 or whatever you are now.
36 is right. Thank you.
Okay. Do you have a go-to Mario Kart character? Says David O'Hare.
Donkey Kong. That's right.
Really?
I always like to be the biggest guy. That's
that way you're slow to accelerate, but fast when you're on the loose.
I don't play Mario Kart close enough to know the difference between
I'm a Waluigi stan slash
you were mad that I interrupted you. This time you were mad that I was just talking at all and you interrupted me.
Yeah, he gives you the dexterity of a big with the sort of fast acceleration of a small man. Waluigi is the
You're
goat.
A small man, by the way.
Not really.
Yeah.
I'm average, if not a little bit above average in height. And normal BMI.
You're a little below average.
Not really. Maybe in Denmark.
I can't remember what the bit is on Hollywood Handbook, but it's, nothing ever makes me laugh harder than when those guys make fun of you.
Yeah, you can't say anything slightly wrong or interesting, or they'll find it, they'll expose it, and they'll tickle it.
God, they're so good.
Okay, let's take another break, answer some more questions on the other side of these massages.
All right.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Mm-mm-mm. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back.
Yes.
All right, we're rolling. We have to keep answering questions. That's our lot in life.
Yeah, why would we ever stop?
Actually, I asked a question on Twitter for a poll, and I was quite intrigued to not only hear your answer, but to hear what you would guess people would say. Let me pull it up. It was, would you rather be insanely good at tennis or table tennis? Yeah.
Insanely
tennis
good
or table tennis.
Like Rafa good?
No, like the top 5% of population. Like you're not entering tournaments and winning. That's like for the super good. But like
okay.
19 random people on the street, you're better than.
I see. Tennis, I guess no hesitation at all around that.
Okay.
And then see how ping pong would be cool, but I don't think it comes close to, being good at tennis.
Okay. Now, what do you think people said? What would the population after 1800 votes, what would you guess?
I think by and large, people are dumb. So I'll say 60% said ping pong.
It's almost the exact opposite. 58% still prefer tennis and 42% said table tennis.
Oh, all right. Pretty close.
Melanie Bracewell, friend of HeadGum, said, table tennis for sure. It's not like you could just play tennis at a party. So it's more of like a party thing. Like you're more likely to run into a ping pong table at a bar or like a social gathering. To prove you're really good at tennis, you have to fucking make an appointment with someone and meet them on the courts. No one will ever know you're really good at tennis.
Yeah, but I don't, I guess if it's like, that's not what I'm trying to get out of this experience. I think it would be fun to be good at tennis. I like playing tennis. You're getting good exercise. You're outdoors. It just seems like a more fun experience. I also don't think that I've been at very many parties where I would have shown off being good at ping pong. That's probably happened as much as my opportunity is to show that I'm good at tennis.
Really? You think you've been around more tennis courts than table tennis courts?
I guess because I grew up playing tennis. But I don't think that, like, I go to parties and there's ping pong set up there.
Yeah, like, but sometimes there's some at a bar.
Yeah, visit someone's office maybe. Not what bars do you go to where there's ping pong? There's that one at the line in Los Angeles that we used to play ping pong at.
Yeah. What about table tennis or billiards? What would you rather be really good in?
Between table tennis and billiards, definitely billiards. You can like make cash playing billiards.
Hustling people.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you? What do you think?
It's kind of personal. Don't want to answer that.
Okay, fine. Then move on and let's not make a meal out of you not answering, right?
I don't know. It just feels like, I don't know. I'm down to like open up because I do think that honesty is super important on the pod because like people want to feel like they're hanging out with two friends, but I don't even think I'd tell you.
We're not friends. Yeah. Don't think that anybody listening to the show feels like they're hanging out with two friends. I think they're an antagonist to me.
If you listen
I don't
to
like
this
your company,
if you listen to this show, it just feels like
we're three hanging out.
We're three.
You've
buddies.
Yelled at me several times today. you told me to let you finish talking. You interrupted me so you could talk. You made me call my mom and then motioned with your hand to say wrap it up. You haven't done anything fucking kind for me at all.
And I haven't done anything in kind either.
And not in line. It's all been out of line and out of kind and out of turn.
Table tennis. Sorry. Tennis is number one. Table tennis two. Billiards three for me.
Okay. Yeah. I think I can see that because I get more joy out of playing table tennis. But I feel like it's probably... I'd impress more people being good at billiards.
It's cool to put the chalk on.
Yeah, but anyone can do that. Like, I
went to a bachelor party 3 years ago for Billy. Mm. There was a foosball table there. Mm. And you know Ryan Glennon, right?
Yeah.
Long-haired, cool dude, musician, builder, can sort of do it all.
Right, yeah.
He was insanely good at foosball to the point where nobody could score on him. And he couldn't be stopped. Like I'd never seen someone so good at a game where he would beat like 10 people in a row, like 20-0. It was like it was as if he was controlling the ball with his hand, like boom. And it was like, I can't even see what's happening.
Wow.
And, like, I couldn't advance the ball past like his third little rail.
Had he played before?
Yes. He was like, he played a lot in college and like, just like trained. Like that's the amount of good I'm imagining. Like you're just like,
right.
If it's like a party full of casuals, you fucking destroy them.
Right.
Foosball, I'm really bad at. Like I can't, it's almost too stressful. Like it's so happening so fast. I'm like fucking spinning. Oh God, I have no control
foosball,
over it.
Foosball's a weird game because it's like, it's dumb enough that you feel like you should be good. So you do get competitive. You're like, oh, I can win. We should win. We can stop the ball. We just pass it. We kick it into this thing.
But and it's cool to score. Really, boom.
Yeah. There's not enough like strategy. Everybody's kind of the same level and you lose and you're confused about how you lost.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're actually good, you're like, oh, I know how I lost. I messed this thing up. But like foosball is like, I'm bad. I can win. I lost. Why did that happen?
He was passing the ball to himself, like not only line to line, but like within the same strip. So like he would bank it off the side of the wall, like lift, like he would be able to pass it to like different fucking soccer players.
He was bending it like Beckham.
He was. I couldn't even, he was doing fucking tricks. It was unbelievable. I'd never seen anything insane. Live. That's Nobody wild. Scored on him.
Wow. No one scored on him?
No.
I have to see it. Wow, that's amazing.
I wonder if there's like a video of him playing. Shout out to Ryan.
Shout out.
Janitor Lord asks, is Jake allergic to anything?
No.
Awesome.
Yeah.
BHY008 asks, how many bites to finish a banana? Be honest.
So you know how I kind of famously eat a banana in a bad way.
Really?
Yeah.
You bite through the middle of it, peel still on, like a corn on the cob, and then throw it away.
It's not that far off. I peel it in full and eat it loose in my hand.
I see. So you don't use the natural holding grip.
No, I do not. I find that to be a waste of time, and I need to peel my banana and throw away the peel and kind of eat it on the go. I don't want to have to deal with a peel.
You don't want to deal with the peel.
Right.
Don't the peel is too much to deal.
Yeah. So I usually peel it fully in half. Peel it fully, break it in half, eat it in one to two. Eat it in two, and then the other one in two. I would say four, maybe five.
Wow. Those are big bites.
Yeah. Large bites.
Are you eating a banana every day?
No, not even close. What about you?
I eat a banana every morning. Mm-hmm. It's the first thing I eat.
How many bites?
I usually go pretty slow because I'm like waking up and I'm eating it. And then as I'm eating it, I'm giving Luke, the dog, like small bites of my bites.
Wow.
So like we wake up, he follows me to get the banana. I'll put a little bit of his medicine. Yeah. And we share a banana every morning. And then I'm drinking water. Yeah.
God. That's so fucking cute. I hate how fucking charming that is. Hugh Grant level. Great. All right. Now I'm back to hating you.
This one was asked earlier. Let's see if we could remember. How do you make vinegar? This came up last one and we both sort of didn't know. Did you look it up?
Yeah.
What is vinegar?
Yeah, we looked up what is vinegar. I forget already.
It was like fermented something or other, kind of like alcohol or something from water or something. Yeah.
Fermented grape seeds.
Yeah.
Vinegar is the base of all things.
It's every life hack is if your stomach hurts, if you want things whiter, if you want to de-smell, if you want to do anything, you always add vinegar and we're still not sure what it is.
Okay. To make it yourself, all you need is a clean jar, some alcohol, a mother, the starter for the fermentation process, and at least 2 months to allow the mother to work.
The mother. So mother, you need to work. Work,
it's,
mother.
It's alcohol and a mother.
Sounds like my mother.
Nice. So it's fermented alcohol, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay. We should make our own vinegar. The other thing I want to do is become a notary. These are two things that have come up on the podcast that I actually want to follow through on.
Notary. A guy who's like making sure that somebody's actually signing something.
Yeah. My dad said it's actually not that hard because my dad is a notary and I could become one in Connecticut. He said pretty easily. He said it's harder in New York.
Interesting.
But if I'm registered in Connecticut, I can like perform notary, nationally.
Wow. Nice. Okay. Really cool.
You're going to you'll regret making fun of me when I'm a notary and I won't notarize any of your documents.
Actually, I can block some other notary from actually notarizing. I could be an anti-notarer.
I'm allowed to say something's not actually notarized.
Without looking it up, says Joey Alvestad, how are your Seattle Kraken doing?
That's a question for you, right? I don't like the Kraken.
Yeah, I like the Kraken. I like the name and the logo. I assume they're not doing well because expansion team, so usually those don't do well. And looking up the record, yes, they are indeed last in their conference. So,
all right, perfect.
They're doing bad. Doing bad. The best teams right now look like the Carolina Panthers and the Colorado Avalanche. So there you have it.
Of course.
Those are some really good hockey teams. Are you still watching Euro football?
Dude, yes. I love the EPL. I love the Spurs. And we beat Man City on Sunday. No, Saturday. Yeah, we beat Man City on Saturday. It was an incredible game.
Game. Are you watching those at home on a stream? How does it work?
I paid for all of the NBC shit. They're all over the place. It's like some are on NBC, some are on cable, some are on Peacock. I think some of them are on USA now. It's all garbage, but I pay for everything because I need to see every game.
And do you watch it live? Is it like on at 4 a.m. or is it a manageable hour for you?
Manageable hour for New York for the most part. The earliest they're ever on is like maybe 6:30, 7:30, but like that game started at 12:30. They're like they're 12:30, 9:30. It's definitely earlier in LA.
Mr. Franz writes, if Amir reads this, he gets the turdy. Afraid that's not how it works, sir.
Perfect. You can't just You get the turdy. I get the golden mic. Actually, fuck it. You, my friend, get the turdy. And my mom gets the golden mic. That's right. She deserves it. She was the best part of the podcast. You were the worst part of the podcast.
You said, I get the turdy. Fuck it, actually. You get the turdy. My mom gets the, so not fuck it, actually. Right.
Well, I said, you get the turdy. I get the golden mic. Then I said, fuck it. And then I said, you get the turdy. My mom gets the golden mic. So I did change. I flipped the script. You will remain with the turdy, the award for shittiness in podcasting. For your interruptions and for reading that tweet, which kind of stated that you'd get the turdy if you read it. Feels almost like you wanted it. You knew you deserved it, probably for the interrupting, probably for the being mean to me, probably for telling my mom to wrap it up when she was waxing about having children, helping somebody out. And she gets the golden mic for answering in the middle of the day when she, you know, she probably had other shit to do, but she loves me and I love her. And fucking, I get the golden mic too because we have a really strong bond. And that's pretty neat to have between a mother and a son.
Dab. Get me dabbed. The earbud almost fell out, but I guess it was worth it, right?
Yeah, it was.
Can't fight your meatus. You can't see this. My ear holes are too large for earbuds, so I'm a little bit jealous.
For sure. For sure.
All right. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your theme songs. If you got your own longer questions, as always, write them into ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Theme songs also sent to that same electro mail address.
Correct.
And you can watch more of our videos at patreon.com/JA. And you can watch these podcasts for absolutely free on YouTube.
Damn right.
That opening theme song, much like the closing one, because it's the same song, is by Tony Saragossa from the band The Medium Blue. Follow them on Instagram. You're trying to get to a K.
You can do it.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back, as always, next week. Ciao, everybody. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it.
If I were you, here's what I would do. Dump all my problems onto these dudes. Let them figure it out. They'll change your name for privacy's sake. Your friends will know who you are anyway. Your story's so specific, dude. Yeah, it gets kinda wordly. Amir will earn the turdy. He always seems to put his foot in his mouth. And Jake will take the golden mic. He always seems to get it right and speak words both powerful and true. And so beautiful. If I were
was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.